When did you start writing songs?
I started writing songs with my first band, and then when I was maybe about 14, and then we sort of split up and I went on to play with another musician. At the time I couldn't play any instruments, and then eventually I picked up an instrument when all else failed, really. All other musicians left me.
Is that because you just can't? You can't work with other people.
I think it's just, you know, relationships often fail in all walks of life.
When you're 14?
Well, I mean, people go their separate ways, don't they? And, like, some go to school, some go into the woods.
What was the band called? Do you remember what your first band was called?
First band was called Turncoat.
Is that why you left the band? You were like, I can't be a part of this.
We reformed as a band called The Bells, The Bells later on when we'd come out of the other end of school / the woods. And we were then quite popular in my hometown, Norwich, for a year, where we played lots and lots of gigs, and it was a great setup. There was sort of 7 or 8 of us, and we'd swap around instruments and things.
Were you writing songs when you were that age then?
Yeah, I was writing lyrics, sort of, you know, vaguely lyrics, yeah. But I started writing songs, I guess, that had, you know, a formulaic structure. Probably when I came to Edinburgh about 4 years ago, that's when I started writing properly. But I think, well, in terms of like folk music and traditional music, that's not really something. I'd spent some time in Ireland, but it's certainly not something I was used to living with. So that was a pleasure to come into, and very encouraging for me.
Does it affect the songwriter? Like if you're playing in, say, because I know you do a lot of like stuff, sessions at, you play weekly sessions at Nobles. Is that
that's
correct?
Right. Thursday night, 9 p.m. Nobles on Constitution Street.
Very good. A really nice bar. Great stained glass.
Lovely bar, yeah.
Great stained glass. Please go down if you're around the Leith area on Thursday. But and that's every Thursday.
It's every Thursday.
For now until whenever this is taken off of the internet.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's every Thursday. You play that and you're always down at the Royal Oak. Always down at the Royal Oak, I am told.
Not as much as I used to be, but still try and frequent it. Because it's a great bar and it's a very good sort of community vibe for musicians. And it's not, you know, I don't really slip very comfortably into a folk category. It's open to songwriters. And I've definitely learned a lot and taken a lot from the vibe that's going on there. You can be yourself and you can play your own stuff.
What do you reckon when you say you learn from that? What does that mean?
Well, I don't know, I think there's quite a lot of drama to a lot of folk songs that I really enjoy, you know, and they're really good with imagery and they don't hold back on the content. It's all like death and betrayal and murder and some woman weeping on some damp hillside for like 7 years, you know. And it's all really good and dramatic and yeah, I guess 18 verses of that and you just kind of go, wow, my song about sort of wandering around aimlessly kicking at stones just isn't cutting it, you know. So it does kind of spur you on to write more interestingly.
When you sit down to write, is it the words? I mean, are you a constant scribbler to do things pour out all at once?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I think both, at the moment, for the last year, both are happening, not simultaneously necessary, but all the time. Like, I go home and I find a really nice riff and I play it and I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then I'll run to my flatmate and go, listen to this. And then I'll, you know, I do most of my writing, like lyric writing, walking home, walking to places, biking home, often in the dark. I don't know why, that seems to be the best place. Because to me, it's sort of like walking around town is dead time. So it's a good place to get all that thinking and formulating your song lyrics into play. And then, so it kind of works that I'll go home one night and play the guitar and find something that I really like. And then the next night I'll walk home and I will have been writing in my head, so I'll quickly write that down and then see how they fit together. Sometimes not at all. Sometimes, you know, it takes ages before you find the two pieces to a song.
Have you ever sat down to write like a poem or anything like that?
If it had to be one or the other, I would still write. But I like singing. I'd probably just sing a cappella what I'm thinking all the time. Which would be funny.
Like a musical, kind of.
Just like a musical life, yeah.
Well, or like when you were a kid in a band. That's kind of,
yeah,
except
okay,
you had a microphone.
I suppose. Yeah. In fact, I'd quite like to go back to doing that. I like singing with other people, other musicians, because, you know, I think with a really good group of musicians, who I'm with at the moment, actually, it's great because they listen to the lyrics of the song and they listen to the mood that you're trying to project and try and encapsulate that with all their instruments, and then, you know, individually and together, so you're kind of building this sound. And if you're ever unsure about how you felt before, you're certainly a bit more clear about it when you hear the full sound of everyone working together to push this mood. It's really inspiring.
Do you think people listen to the lyrics?
Yeah, some people, I meet people every now and again who say, oh, I don't know, I never listen to the lyrics. You seem to be going on a lot about something, a lot of words were said. And I don't believe them. I can't believe it. I'm so into listening to lyrics, and I think I've got quite a quick judgment on artists, and like based upon the lyrics of their songs, whether I like them or not, if I feel like they're really trying. Obviously, some music is set so you don't have to listen to the lyrics. You know, it's not the main thing. It's sort of a part of the song, or there's a little refrain that's repeated, and it's great, and yeah, it sets a mood, and it's great. But I don't know, personally, I like songs that are packed with sort of loads of raw feeling and, you know, honesty and interesting little phrasing and imagery. And I can't really understand why everybody doesn't want that.
This, it blew my mind that people wouldn't listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean, you would read them, right? When you were a kid, you would open up the album sleeve and...
Yeah, or try and write them out if it was on a mixtape, and then discover one day how wrong you'd got it, you know. Some really funny things, really, really childish. Oh, I see.
You like quite emotionally, almost personal sounding stuff. Do you ever worry that you're being too personal?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah.
Do I know too much about you now, Hayley?
Well, do you know, that doesn't bother me. What really brought it home was... I mean, at the time, I'd feel like I couldn't be personal enough, and that is just the kind of the personal struggle to express yourself, you know. And often, I think maybe you can be too brutally honest when really you just want to say it in a way that's perfect, and maybe you replace working on a really good way of saying it, you know, perfection, for just saying it how it feels at the time and not beating around the metaphorical bush too much. But what really made me think, oh, God, I've gone a step too far with this one, is when I was in the car with my parents this Christmas, and I was sitting in the back seat, and, yeah, and there is my sort of heart and head completely open, and my mum and dad are just driving through the countryside in this really sort of bleak, flat landscape, and I just think... this isn't where it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be in the car of my parents, you know.
So they were listening to the CD with you in the vehicle.
In the back, which, you know, in itself isn't so wrong, but I guess my songs are quite personal, and there I am screaming about sleeping with the Sasquatch, you know, and...
Did they say anything about it? Were they singing along?
They really... Yeah, my mum really likes the lyrics. But she always, you know, she kind of says, oh, very melancholy, Hayley's very melancholy, which actually I'm not at all, you know. I put a lot of myself into them, my feeling, and maybe, you know, I'm starting to work out of that cycle now, and I'm just beginning to write from, not necessarily from other perspectives, but add characters into my songs so that it's not like me, da da da. It's kind of like, well, she did this and then he did that, which are all just displaying aspects of my feelings and characters and personalities, but it's quite nice to have other people with names that take that rap, you know, for you.
They don't have to be you all the time. It doesn't have to be the eye. It doesn't have to be the eye.
Precisely, and I'm only just learning that, and it's great because I can blame it on all these other people.
blame? What do you do with these songs?
Ah, oh, you'll see.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite lyricist?
Yes, I think at the moment, my favourite lyricist is John Daniel. He's the singer from he is the Mountain Goats.
Oh, I like the Mountain Goats.
Yeah, absolutely. He blows my mind with his lyrics. He's just on a mission of honesty, and I don't know, I'm still trying to work it out really, but he captures things in an effortless way and an honest way. And I really like that.
Have you put The Mountain Goat on a mixtape?
I have put The Mountain. Okay, so I've put the most recent song I've put on a mixtape is, that's a good question to get to the is This Year. Oh, yeah. Which is all about him as a 17-year-old with a throbbing motorbike and a head full of whiskey and, kind of leaving his broken family home and with just this vision of it's going to be great, it's going to be better, anything's going to be better than this.
Give us a little hum a bar or sing a little bit.
The refrain is really good. The refrain is, I am going to make it through this year if it kills me, which is brilliant in itself, the paradox of that. And also the juvenile drive is really good. I love that. I don't know if he wrote that when he was 17 or he wrote it in retrospect, but it's great.
Do you ever do a cover of him?
I'm considering doing a cover of Mountain Goat song. I just need to choose the one. You know, it's quite hard when there's such a back catalogue. I'm working with a full band now. Yeah.
Who's in that band?
Oh, Jenny Hill and Jed Milroy are in that band. We're called Wax, and we've just been in the recording studio for the first 3 days of January. Recording 4 new tracks, and we've enlisted the likes of Cammy Sinclair on the drums to make it sound amazing, and it does. It sounds really, really good. I think the track we're going to be releasing for the single is called Jennifer. It's kind of about the wonder of sort of holding on to love in the same way that the paradox of the for an armor, for a noose idea, and also the sort of futility of really thinking that anything can ever last. But it's played out by these two characters, Jennifer and Peter, who are kind of in this entangled sort of moment of realization and truth, all set to a scuffly little beat, which makes it easier to swallow. And it resolves nicely as well. It's a very nice ending.
Oh, don't give away the ending. Okay, let's play it. Let's play it now.
One, two, three, four. Tell me, do you love her true? Does she understand and do all of the things that you do? Well, if you want her, then take her to your room. Oh, but outside, the sky was dividing to swallow the smoke that was rising up from the tomb. He said, Jennifer, Jennifer, I know every hair on your head. Oh, but how can I keep you if it isn't tethering you to this bed? Oh, but somewhere a door was closing, somewhere a war was raging, somewhere a woman was awakening, somewhere the fire was blazing in her head. She said, Peter, dear, I love you true. But we've been unborn for a long time, and we'll be dead for a long time too. And this desire for the forever will only bring sorrow to you, because all is taken back. No less, these limbs are as bound to the ground as the rest. So come on, for now lay your head upon my breast. And sing ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-dum-dum. Sing ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-dum-da-da-dum. Yeah, love is a shining light, and it is ours to follow. Oh, my mother, all your lullabies did lie, but it's all right now that I know that there is nothing to hold on to. There is no one watching over you. There is no thing that you should do. There is no plot to adhere to, but still there must be a reason why you are you. Yeah, there is nothing you can cling to. There is no one who will watch over you. There is no one thing that you should do. There is no plot you can adhere to. But still there must be a reason why you are.